You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to do a bit of a science experiment on the show. A bit of an investigation.
Alrighty, so we're doing chemistry, physics, biology, psychology?
None of those. Okay. This is Osher Gunsbergology.
All right.
It very much involves Osher Gunsberg, who is, of course, host of The Bachelor and The Masked Singer.
So where does the science come into it?
Well, I'll tell you, actually.
Okay.
Well, first up, can you just pass it? Because we are doing science. Can you just pass me my lab coat? I'll put it over there.
Bunsen burner? What's that doing here?
Yeah.
Put that away.
Weird things you find in a radio studio, hey. So, Simo, you know that I am a big, big fan of The Bachelor. In fact, I'm a big fan of reality TV, you know, admit it.
Why?
It's brilliant.
Okay. I'm not going to do a deep dive on that right now.
That's tomorrow's science experiment.
It's more of my life's work, really.
But, Simo, Osher Gunsberg, he seems to be hosting a lot of them. Like, he's on TV, I think, 5 out of the 7 nights.
Oh, yeah.
Hosting his various shows, both The Masked Singer and The Bachelor.
Yeah, so you can probably list them. Is he Love Island as well?
No, he's not Love Island.
Okay, right.
That's a different network. Come on, Simo.
Oh, sorry, apologies. Everyone's looking for love on all the different networks.
I know, yeah.
Wait,
is the farmer looking for love on the other network?
Bachelor in Paradise is him then, maybe.
Yes.
Okay, right, so he's got Paradise, Masked Singer, normal Batchy.
Yeah.
And then, horrifically, he rocked up on my Survivor.
Oh, yeah, Survivor, your reality TV show.
I was super pissed. I was like, get this out of my face.
I know we need LaPaglia or whatever his name is.
Jonathan LaPaglia.
That's it.
Yeah, no, he's a beautiful specimen.
Well, Simo, what I thought I would do is just do a little bit of a case study in Osher's hosting styles on the various shows, because they are very different.
Yeah.
Not so much Survivor, because that show is trash, but...
I'll fight you.
But, Simo, I thought I'd look at his hosting styles from The Masked Singer to The Bachelor.
Okay.
And just see the differences.
There's not going to be any difference.
Well, you, Simo, you say that, and I will quote you on that by the end of it. I've got some examples here.
Yeah.
So this is him welcoming the various contestants.
All right.
So this is him welcoming one of the contestants on The Masked Singer.
All right.
It's Kitten, you know, getting excited.
Yeah, it's pretty full on.
It's pretty full on, exactly. And now, Simo, this is him welcoming Lockie the Bachelor.
If you're ready, here's Lockie.
Okay.
Can you see the differences?
Yeah, there's
You
a bit
said it was the same, Simo. It's not. He's pumped up, he's excited, and then he's, hello, it's Lockie.
Yeah, so, ugh, doesn't it make your skin crawl? What does that sound like to you?
If you're ready... Here's Lockie.
It sounds like quality entertainment.
Yeah, totally.
And here we go. So just considering this is science-y, I'm just going to scribble some notes.
Yeah, yeah, quickly mark that down.
Hypothesis. Mm. Yeah, mark that. Yeah, do we have that marked?
Yeah.
Good. Don't know where we have it marked anyway. But to me, you can see the differences, kind of.
Well, yeah, one's super hyped, and then the other one is kind of like a little bit more kind of drama, real kind of like, oh, here, yes. Mm. It's like more saucy.
Mm.
He's like more in... It's weird, but he's kind of more into it.
Mm.
Like... This is a guilty pleasure.
If you're ready, here's Lockie.
And this is a night out.
It's interesting you say that, Simo. Let's mark that down as well for
Actually,
some reason.
Actually, this is probably... Because his name's Osher Gunsberg. He used to be...
Andrew G.
That's right. This is prime Andrew G for me. Australian Idol. You know, like he's like got the hype, whereas this is like the modern, more sophisticated, wearing a suit, it's been tailored, he's done a bit
of... very tight in places.
He's done a bit of meditation before he's gone on air, he's done his breathing exercises, and he's kind of, you know, he's come to the full realisation of Osher.
I agree. Well, Simo, let's move on to the second case study.
Okay.
And this is the big one. This is the big... reveal at the end where, you know, the Masked Singer, they take their mask off and we can see who they are.
That's right.
Or in Bachelor terms.
Take it off. Take it off. Is that this part?
It's not what they... Yeah, but that's not what they yell in The Bachelor. And then in The Bachelor terms, it's when one of the girls is going home. So the whole episode has been building up to this. This is the clinch moment.
Okay.
Let's see how Osher takes it. Firstly, let's see how he does it in The Bachelor.
Rosemary. Christina. I'm sorry, but you didn't receive a rose. Can you please take the time to say it?
Ah, yuck.
It's very dramatic. Now, Simo, let's see how he does it on The Masked Singer.
It's Mark Villapoosa!
A little bit different.
Yeah. There's a lot of, there's a fair amount of difference, point of difference there. Mm. But I really, now I kind of want it, that kind of energy to be taken to The Bachelor.
It would be amazing.
So instead of like, because, you know, when he's sending a contestant home, one of the girls home from The Bachelor. Because you know how in The Masked Singer, they're always like, take it off, take it off. It'd be better if, like, at the end of the rose ceremony, the ones that don't get a rose, there's just like a live studio audience going, take them home, take them home.
I mean, it would be very cruel, but I can see it working.
Simo and Jordan.
Mentos and Pepsi.
Uh-huh.
Or is it Mentos and Fanta? Which one was more explosive?
Is it Coke? I thought it was Coca-Cola.
Well, that one works as well. Wrong. Mentos and Coke.
So Mentos, they're those mints, I think, and then you put them in a soft drink and it kind of goes a bit crazy.
Did you ever do that?
No.
Okay, right.
Did you?
I didn't do the experiment in its purest form, but okay. I did get anxious.
She had a Mentos, then 3 days later had a Coke.
And I got anxious about it. and it was closer than 3 days apart. I reckon it would have been like a solid maybe 45 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah. That's so risky. I think I had a Mentos and then I had a drink of like a carbonated Pepsi, Cola, whatever it was.
So when did you do this? Maybe did 40... you do this like yesterday?
Nah, years and years ago.
Years ago.
I'm going to be fine.
Oh, okay. Unless... Well, hopefully. 14 years later.
That's when it all comes to a fall.
It was that 45-minute. You should have left an hour.
Well, there is a guy that has caused a similar style explosion.
Okay.
He spent 4 years creating a giant Coca-Cola baking soda explosion. 4 years.
How does that work? Because, I've seen the videos online. You get the Coke, you get the Mentos, you put it in, and it explodes instantly. Mm. It doesn't wait for 4 years and goes, all right, time to explode.
I think, you know, he's obviously added all the ingredients on the day of.
Okay.
But he spent over $9,000, building a custom, enclosure, if you like.
Yes, Emma, you've got a picture of it on your screen there. It looks like a bit of a space rocket. That's probably just judging by the people that are standing around it, probably about 3 metres or so tall.
It's about, it can hold 10,000 litres of Coca-Cola or your Pepsi.
Okay.
That is enough to, what, that could sustain you for a year.
Yeah.
10,000 litres, how much do you reckon you could get through in a year?
Well, Simo, you know, you might not know this, actually.
What?
I don't have a sweet tooth. I don't like Coke.
Really?
So that would just save me for my life because I wouldn't touch it.
Oh, yuck. You wouldn't use it, would you?
No.
So then you just have like a sugary kind of tank out the back of your house. Yeah.
Ants would love it.
Lots of wildlife.
I'd be the place for ants to come and have a rave.
Ant-Man in a whole different way, shape and form.
And a lot less cooler way, let's face it.
And so it's now exploded during the week. It's been viewed on the YouTube more than 6 million times.
Okay.
The impressive feat, taken 4 years, invested a lot of money and a lot of time to complete a stunt all for the views on the YouTube.
Right.
4 years of your life.
So what? So how go through it again. So the thing was 10,000 litres, was that right?
10,000 litres of Coca-Cola filled into a pressurised tank and then added the baking soda into another tub, which they dumped into the pressurised tank.
So it wasn't even Mentos, it was baking soda.
Well, yeah, that's it.
Does that work better? I don't know.
Probably. I mean, how many Mentos are you going to need for 10,000 litres of Coke?
More than one. I can guarantee that. So, yeah, so it exploded and he's got the views on YouTube that he has so much craved.
Yeah, for 4 years he was working up to this moment. Wonder what do you do next?
Good. Well, imagine if he was... Okay, the reason he did this was for YouTube, I assume, and that's the only reason.
Correct.
Imagine if he'd worked 4 years, built this tank, somehow sourced 10,000 litres of Coke, and then done it, filmed the video, edited it, posted it online, checks it the next day and has got 3 views.
Yeah, that would be...
That would be really anticlimactic.
That would suck.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a lot of money and a lot of time invested.
Mm.
But what do you do next? Like, what's the next thing?
Obviously build another one, but do it with Fanta.
build another one.
But do it with Fanta.
Nah, surely you'd change it up. Like, you'd move on to, like, those smoke grenades you used to make in school, like with alfoil and...
Smoke grenades?
Yeah, did you ever do those? So, alfoil.
Yeah.
And then the ping pong balls. So you put the ping pong ball inside the alfoil, you light it up, and away you go.
What school did you go to?
I was raised by the streets, man.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, how are your fingers?
I cut my nails the other day, which was good. Did a bit of maintenance.
That's good. Yeah. But how, they're not like swollen or anything like that, or?
No, I don't work very hard. I mean, they're...
We've noticed.
Yeah, so like there's... I've got the calluses from the gym.
Yeah.
Like in the... What do they call that part of the hand?
The palm?
Nah. The part where the palm reaches the fingers, the little kind of opposite. It's like the reverse knuckle.
Maybe they call it the reverse knuckle, I don't know.
That's what I call it.
Well, Simo, I did learn something a bit interesting about fingers yesterday, which I know sounds a bit bizarre. So we've got a very special guest here with us to... She was the one who taught me about this little fact.
Is this like the typical thing, like if your hand's bigger than your face, you got cancer?
No.
Is this... Yeah, okay, good.
No, this is something that when I was told it, I'm like, no, that's BS, surely.
Okay, right.
And then I kind of Googled it. And it turns out it actually is. It's real.
Good morning to hand expert, stationary queen. Good morning, Ems. How are you?
Yes, just add finger expert to my title. Thank you.
Right there, next to stationary queen.
Well, I tell you what, Emma, you were the one that told me this yesterday, so why don't you take it away? What is this amazing fact that you know about fingers?
Amazing fact that I know, and I feel like probably 99% of the population, Jordan.
Well, I didn't know. I don't know about Simo, but I'm willing to place my bets that he doesn't know. Well, go. What is it? Go.
Well, in winter, I don't wear a lot of my rings because they're too big for my fingers.
Yeah.
Did you know that? That in winter, your fingers swell up.
No, they don't.
They do the opposite. In summer, they swell up, and then in winter, your fingers will be smaller.
Yeah, so it comes down to the age-old thing.
You knew it!
Yeah, like heat.
How am I the only one that doesn't know this?
So, like, heat helps things expand.
She told me yesterday, I thought that was metal, not human bodies.
No, it's everything. Same thing with, like, your guitarists. They would struggle in the weather changes.
Yeah.
Because a guitar string...
The main reason I don't play guitar.
Guitar string as well will, go too sharp and too flat, as in it'll compress and, like, decompress with the weather. It's a thing.
Thank you, Simba.
Yeah. I can't believe that you knew this.
Yeah.
It's science.
Rachel D from Admin, did you know this? She's outside the studio. Yeah, she's nodding. How am I the last person to know this?
I guess you just didn't apply it to the real world. It's like the same thing. It's like you're one of these people that'll be like, why do I need algebra? It's not going to be relevant in the real world.
Simo, I prepared all of these stats here. I found them on Google.
What did you find?
About fingers that were going to amaze you, but you already know them.
No, I don't know. I know the principle. What else, have you got anything else that's going to make it a little bit more...
Fingers are typically bigger in the morning when you're hot. Or if you've consumed a lot of salt and alcohol.
Okay, yeah.
They shrink when you're cold or swimming.
Yeah.
They're bigger in summer, smaller in winter. Apparently when you fly as well in an aeroplane, fingers will swell up.
Right. You don't say.
I know.
So is this because... So, Ems, when you got your rings the first time, should you have had them, like... measured when you had fat fingers?
I don't know.
But then I guess they'd be loose the rest of the time, wouldn't they?
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. Yeah. I do need to get them resized, perhaps.
What are the... I mean, yeah, because you'd look like a rapper. If all the bling's all of a sudden, like hanging lower, all of a sudden everyone's going to think that Em's a stationary queen is actually a rap god.
Look, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised on a weekend.
Simo and Jordan.
Simo and Jordan, and it's time to check in with another Guinness World Record attempt.
Oh, I feel like a champion.
I have been enjoying the Guinness World Records of late.
Yeah, there seems to be, like this last week, there seems to be a lot of bizarre ones.
Yeah, a lot of weird ones. People kind of just stuck at home, being like, oh yeah, I could drop that ping pong ball into that red cup from a distance.
Actually, you know what I reckon it is? I've just had an epiphany.
Yeah.
I reckon I know what it is.
All right.
Like,
you okay there, buddy?
Because I've applied for Guinness World Records before and you do the attempt and then it takes like 6 months or so for them to verify it and then you actually get the plaque or whatever.
Yeah.
I reckon 6 months ago or so, the world was just about going into lockdown.
Okay.
So people thought, I'll break some Guinness World Records. And now 6 months later, they're getting around to handing out the plaques.
So, yeah.
And that's why there's so many.
I've always thought the guy in the records office, like the records department at Guinness, it's like probably just one guy with a clipboard and a pencil and he's got to do all the work.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, poor Travis.
He's just there, so they're saying yes, no, and then actually you know, caring about like the 100-meter sprint or something, which is a which is like a relevant one, and then someone who can juggle 15 crayons, yeah, go nuts. You can probably have it.
Actually, the way that Travis from Records at Guinness,
is his name actually Travis, or did you just make it up?
Made it up.
So I feel like he'd have an offsider called Jeff.
Yeah, Travis
and Jeff.
The way that they make
sounds like a radio show.
The way they make sure that the records are legit is they try each one that comes in. So there's just like their office is just a mess with crap.
Imagine being Travis's wife. Travis gets home from work. Oh, so what did you do at work today? Well, I tried to juggle 3 chainsaws.
You've got 2 less fingers today.
I tried to eat a cookie off my forehead.
Yeah.
I tried to blow up 17,000 balloons in 5 minutes.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the cookie on the head, because that is the latest one that has been attempted by David Rush. Now, this is the guy who's got over 150 Guinness World Records to his name.
Do you reckon Travis just sees his name go in, come in and is like, yes, fine, whatever.
Just ticks it.
You've got 150 of these. We're just fine.
So David Rush is doing all these record-breaking attempts to help further knowledge of STEM education. So,
okay.
Bring it to people's minds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good.
And so this record he has tried to get done involves a cookie on his head, a cream-filled circular wafer-type biscuit, which has then...
You're very much not saying brand names. I wonder why.
Which has to...
Is it an Oreo?
Has to traverse down his face.
Yes, it is. Okay, yes.
Without his hands,
yeah.
Right? And then he has to eat it.
So hang on. Right? So it's on his forehead and he has to somehow manipulate his face.
That's right.
And so that the cookie will travel down past his nose into his mouth and then he can eat the cookie.
That's right. Here's David giving it his best shot.
Park entering the Guinness World Challenge this week had to find some off-brand cream-filled biscuits to attempt to break this Guinness World record. Thanks to my son for the help.
3, 2, 1, go!
So he's eating the cookie at this stage.
I feel it's a very visual thing.
You can definitely imagine someone's eyebrows going all over the shop. And then they finish with this.
Come on!
So he had his son there helping him out.
Yeah.
Right? Counting down, making sure he's eating the cookie, etc. Now, together, Dad managed to smash that cookie in about 8 seconds.
Nice.
But it has got me worried about the parenting side of things, don't you think?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, because the son's been right next to his dad as his dad breaks 150, like, stupidly dumb records. Do you fear for that kid's education at all about what he's going to do in the future?
Well, no. Why? Do you fear for that?
Well,
he's going to leave school and try and break world records like his dad?
All I kind of see in his future is him being a magician. I think that's all that's really on offer for him.
I'm seeing another future for him. I'm not going to lie. Do you have that second grab again when he eats
Thanks
the cookie?
Thanks to my son for the help.
3, 2, 1, go!
Now, do you have the second one when he's finished eating the cookie?
Come on!
I'm seeing that kid as maybe a Leighton Hewitt impersonator.
Oh, yeah, nice.
He's got the come on pretty good. So either magician or Leighton Hewitt impersonator. That is what that kid is doing in future.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to talk about the country of your heritage.
Deutschland.
Germany.
Ah, it's the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I don't come from there personally, but my blood does.
Somewhere in your extended family, it's German.
Yeah, great-great-grandmother, and there's some on Dad's side as well.
Mm,
yeah, right. It's around.
Well, Simo, this story caught my attention in Bavaria in Germany. Now, you're an expert on German geography. Whereabouts is that?
That is in the south.
Okay.
It's the southern part of Germany, like Bavaria. Don't call a northern German. Like, don't ask them about Kranskis or Lederhosen or any of that stuff. Because they... there's no telling what they could do, because the last time the Germans got angry, a fair bit went on.
Yes. That's quite historically documented. You could be making all of that up about it being in South Germany as well.
It's true.
I've got no idea.
Yeah, it's true. FYI.
It could be true. It could be fake. But see, this story did happen. I can confirm that this was true. A guy was driving in Bavaria and he was speeding. He was in a 70-kilometer zone. He was traveling at 81 kilometers, so 11 over.
Yeah.
Got snapped by a speed camera.
Uh-oh.
And I'm not an expert on the German road system.
Yeah.
But because he was 11 kilometres over, he got a fine that was 20 euros, which doesn't seem like that much.
It's not that bad.
I did the translation. It's about 32 Aussie dollars.
Yes.
Being 11 Ks over. It doesn't feel that bad.
Nah.
However, on review, the German police had a look at the image that was taken from the speed camera, because it actually takes a physical picture of you and your car.
What was he doing?
As he was driving past the speed camera, he was flipping the speed camera the bird, which is an offensive Germany of being insulting to road traffic. So as a result, his 20 euro fine for speeding, going a little bit over, actually changed to being a 4,000 euro fine and having a 1 month driving ban.
Wow.
All because he flipped the bird at a speed camera as he drove past.
Yeah, no, they're big into their standards, and they're making sure you obey.
Well, Simo, I've got the translations here. So 4,000 euros equals 6,472 Aussie dollars.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to 30 bucks.
Yeah.
1 month driving ban is still a 1 month driving ban. There's no translation on that.
You'd be spewing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd be spewing so much so that you might go back to that speed camera and flip at the bird again, because you'd be a bit annoyed.
No way. Did he do that?
No.
Okay.
He's not driving for a month, Simo.
No, but I'm
saying, he's going to walk past and flip at the bird. I don't know if that's a crime or not.
Yeah, I assume it probably is, but because you're still being abusive towards traffic.
Yeah.
You don't need to be driving to do that.
Look, I don't recommend flipping speed cameras the bird, whether you're in Germany or Australia, because that might be a crime here. I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's a few around.
What, speed cameras?
Yeah. They're just doing their job, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to open up that debate.
And you kind of have.
I tell you what, I was driving between Canberra over the weekend. And
flipped a speed camera of the bird. You know, $4,000 out of pocket.
I see how many I could spot. You!
You didn't even want to go to Canberra. You're just driving along, just flipping.
Yeah, I turned around, came all the way back. I did it on the way home.
You hear it's like, oh, and then the speed cameras are going to be on this road. I know where I'm going.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.